Hey, 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 greetings from upstate New York. Welcome to the Pastor Duke podcast. Hey, it's good to be back in the saddle. Spent almost the entire month of May under the influence of kidney stones and stents and tubes. And all that's behind me now, and I'm back in the saddle, back to about 80% of my strength, and glad to be behind the microphone here. In my office, preaching Jesus. Some amazing things are happening in the news, as I'm sure you're following along. Jesus said, when you begin to see all these things come to pass, look up, for your redemption draws nigh. I love a phrase I heard from a pastor friend, Anthony Milas, out in Salem, Massachusetts. He said, everything is not falling apart. Everything is coming together. Today, we're going to talk about UFOs in the news. I like to call them EFOs, as in Ezekiel flying objects. I've not felt the need through the years to closely follow the UFO undertow. I haven't followed up on the Hale-Bopp Comet reports as to whether Elvis made a second advent or not. I, like many people, have seen some unexplainable flying objects at night through the years, but have never followed up on them on the late night radio talk shows from midnight to 4 a.m. I turn from the world of the paranormal when I turn to the real world of the cross of Jesus and an empty tomb. I think most of us have heard stories of some abducted aliens, interviewed and released, and come to tell their stories and go on TV, make documentaries. I do confess I've watched a couple of the documentaries over the years on the topic of alien abductions and things. But I've never died and went to heaven or returned to tell my story. I'm just a guy, but I have a Bible, the Word of God, an infallible Bible, which zooms in on flying vehicles, flying objects seen and reported on by Ezekiel the prophet in chapter 1 and chapter 10, two entire chapters devoted to it. Now, there were 44 other prophets that wrote scripture and never made mention of these things. So I think that is an important thing to mention, that God revealed some things to one of his servants that would be important for us to kind of lock in on. I do not go outside the Bible to get my most important information. The Bible is my bedrock. It's the Word of God. God talks to me, man, when I read his Word. But everything else, I just kind of have tongue in cheek, and I listen, and I try to fit it together with what I know to be true. And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to look into the Word of God on this topic. I have my Bible open to Ezekiel chapter 1. It came to pass, verse 1, came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives, as Judah had fallen to Babylonian captivity. This is not a fun time. It's a downtime, but God's going to move. God's going to show him some things to lift his spirits. The heavens were open, and I saw visions of God. This is going to be a God thing. Verse 2, in the fifth day of the month, which was the fifth year of King Jehoiakim's captivity, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Chebar. And the hand of the Lord was there upon me. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind, something spinning, coming out of the north, a great cloud, a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it, out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. He's seen something that he ain't never seen before. He's seen something that has caught his attention. It's something in the sky. Verse 5. We'll come back and review this in a moment, but let me continue reading the text. Verse 5, also out of the midst thereof came a likeness of four living creatures, and this was their appearance, that they had the likeness of a man. And every one had four faces, every one had four wings, and their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot, and they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. And they had the hands of a man under their wings. On their four sides they had four had their faces and their wings. Their wings were joined one to another. They turned not when they went. They went every one straight forward. These things are moving. It's amazing. He's trying to figure it out. Verse 10, and had the likeness of their faces. Four had the face of a man and the face of a lion on the right side. They four had the face of an ox on the left side. They four also had the face of an eagle. Thus were the faces, and their wings were stretched upward. Two wings of every one were joined one to another, and their two covered their bodies. And they went, every one, straight forward, whether the spirit was to go. They seemed to be driven, to be occupied, to be piloted. They went, and they turned not when they went. And as for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like a burning coals of fire, like the appearance of lamps. It went up and down among the living creatures. The fire was bright, but out of the fire went forth lightning. It flashed. Verse 14, and the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of flashing lightning. And as I beheld the living creatures, he's more captivated by the occupants than he is the craft, it seems to me. Verse 15 again, now as I behold the living creatures, behold one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures with its four faces. The appearance of the wheels and their works were like unto a color of beryl, had one likeness, and their appearance and their work was as it were a wheel within a wheel. And they went up on their four sides, and they turned not when they went. As for the rings, they were so high that they were dreadful. And their rings were full of eyes round about. And when the living creatures went, the wheels went up by them. And when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up whithersoever the spirit was to go. And went there, their spirit did go. And the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. And so, we have this explicit. I left off the last 10 verses, but I think you can see something's going on there that really captured Ezekiel. I want to begin this by saying I'd put no stock in UFO hype as it has come in waves throughout the years. I am aware of crop circles, pondered it a bit. I find it interesting. I do find fascinating some of the rock formations in South America, man-made, but barely discernible unless you are up a few thousand feet to look down upon it. Questions arise. Are these harbingers? Are these some kind of messages from God, some signs of our times? Well, I'm not concerned that much because God has given me everything I need in his written word. I don't need to add anything from outside sources to have a full revelation of what God wants me to know. He told us don't add to the scriptures, don't take away from them, don't divert from them. But in recent days, the United States government, which I could trust, has released a huge file of formerly classified UFO documentation. It's been a lot in the news. I am one who clearly does not believe in coinkydinks. This has caught my attention. I know we are in a spiritual battle between God and Satan. I believe we are in the last days, soon to experience the rapture of Christ's church. Jesus did tell us there shall be signs in the sky, in the sun, in the moon, and the stars. My question is, are all the UFO concerns connected at all with what Jesus was talking about in his signs of his appearing? I honestly do not know, and I really don't care all that much because at best, it's vague. You know, concerning signs, Israel's rebirth 1948 is not vague. Jerusalem's retaken in 1967 is not vague. The alignment of the nations prophetically is not vague. So I put my marbles in the bag of the biblical obvious, not the obscure. I don't want Satan to make a molehill into a mountain in my mind. But there's a whole lot of talk about it, and it does kind of brush up with the edges of information that is given to us in the Bible. So there's my perspective on the topic. Now I'm going to dive into God's word a bit, dissect it. We just read the text from chapter 1 to see really what God chose to tell us about the flying objects. I call them EFOs, Ezekiel flying objects. And this is long before Orville and Wilbur Wright had their successes in Kitty Hawk. So having read the text, I want to make some observations. Number one, they clearly were flying objects, and it blew Ezekiel's mind. Number two, he uses the word likeness 8 times in the chapter, for he had never seen anything quite like this before in his lifetime. He's trying to explain it all in the language of his day, and he's feeling as though his words are not quite enough to capture what he is seeing. He also used the word appearance over and over and over again, because he's never seen anything quite like it before. Number three, it was coming out of the north. That's interesting. There are many scriptures references saying that heaven is in the north, Psalm 48, 1 and 2, and in the sides of the north where the heavens are. I find that interesting. Number four, it glowed. It was well lit up. Its lights flashed. He couldn't take his eyes off of it. It completely mesmerized him. Verse 5, it was inhabited and manned by some living creature. He went to some great lengths to try to explain that, which still leaves us a little bit mystified. But it was man. There were spiritual beings. There were visible people, angels. I would say angels. They were manned objects. And I bet it was not E.T. or Elvis Presley. Number six, it landed and took off. It hovered. It moved really fast. It moved in a pretty amazing sort of a way under the command of its occupants. Number seven, it looked like a wheel within a wheel. That's kind of like what a flying saucer would look like, isn't it? Number eight, it made a great noise, and it says, as the voice of the Almighty. This was a God encounter. God had some technology that the world had never seen before and has never really been reported on by any of the other prophets. But Ezekiel clearly saw something flying. I'll call it the Ezekiel flying object. And he summed that all up in chapter 1, verse 28, as the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain. So it was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell on my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. He didn't die and come back. He was not abducted. He wasn't brainwashed. It was just something that God chose twice in his life to see into the spirit realm, where most of the time we do not see. Again, in chapter 10, verse 1, there's another encounter at a different time. Then I looked, and behold, in the firmament was above the head of the cherubim. It was occupied by a cherubim, a little bit different than the first occupants, it seems to me. Cherubims are a type of angel. There appeared over them, as it were, a sapphire stone in the appearance of the likeness of a throne. Again, it talks about the wheels and the wheel within a wheel and the sound, and he kind of just gives another detailed of what he's seeing in chapter 10, again, as he did in chapter 1. Some of the things are the same. Some of the things are a little tweaked. In verse 4, he says, the glory of the Lord went up, full of the brightness of the Lord's glory. Verse 5, as the voice of the Almighty when he speaketh. And so, again, it's a God encounter. It's something that clearly came from God in the normally invisible world, now visible to Ezekiel. Two chapters completely given to what he saw, and two separate occasions. That makes it significant to me biblically, and the fact that so many details were given. What is crystal clear to me is, number one, this wasn't a real event. This really happened. It was physical. It was touchable. It was real. And God was showing him some technology far ahead of man's technology at the time. You know, when we think about God, we don't really think so much about technology. We just think of, you know, the supernatural, and in the beginning God spoke and the heavens into existence. But God is also a God of technology, I think. We see that clearly from those two chapters. Number three, God was carrying on his work among men on planet Earth. God had full command of gravity, of flight, of vehicles, and communication and occupants. That's very clear from the text. Number four, it held Ezekiel in awe. So I truly do believe in EFOs, Ezekiel flying objects, are what we are seeing unfolded and declassified and on the news and documentaries today are what we're seeing the same as what Ezekiel saw. I don't know. I do find it interesting. But here's some thoughts to ponder, knowing that Ezekiel saw something real and how it might fit in as to what goes on today. Many of the reported UFO encounters are very similar to what Ezekiel saw. You know, the wheel within the wheel, moving erratically, hovering. That's not traditional flight. And it's not a helicopter thing. It's not an airplane thing. But it's very similar to what Ezekiel saw. Question arises, is God moving today as he was then? Another question, are all these some kind of signs to today's world, a wake-up call, if you will, perhaps a modern-day glimpse into the spirit world that we see so little of? Yeah. I'm not sure, but I do find it all interesting. Scripture is clear that there is an unseen world just as real as the visible world. Most of the demonic activity seems to happen in what the Bible would call the netherworld, the underworld, a world that we do not see into in our normalcy, in our walk with Jesus Christ. But I came out of the drug culture. I messed around with hallucinogenic drugs, and I saw things under the influence of LSD that I ain't never seen before, and I don't want to see again. It's interesting, as you study the occult artwork that was recorded by pagans throughout the years all over the world, there's always a dragon centrality and darkness, a lot of red and black demonic activity in the underworld. We know there is another world because the Bible tells it, and it is the realm of most of demonic activity. And I remember seeing those things under the influence of LSD, and a lot of psychedelic drugs are used in occult worship. So sometimes I think Satan will give us a view into the netherworld a little bit to intimidate us, to draw us in, to make us have a superiority thoughts above others who haven't been there yet, that we can kind of one-up other people and somehow gain demonic powers to live above people, to get rich, to be powerful in our personality, to pursue wealth in this world. So those things might be connected as well. It's interesting, in 2 Kings chapter 6, I am going to pull a bookmark out here. The prophet Elisha sees the Syrian army amassing to wipe out Judah, and he cries out as his servant Gehazi just sees the army, but Elisha is able to see into the heavens, fiery chariots of God, angelic realm. When Elisha sees this, he's not scared, but Gehazi, his servant, could not yet see it. Elisha prays that the Lord would open Gehazi's eyes so he could see, and God answered the prayer, and Gehazi saw what Elisha saw, and his fears were turned to confidence, and God supernaturally invaded there, came and smote the Syrian army with blindness, where the Jews took them back to Samaria, and they all could have been killed and probably would have under normal circumstances. But God spoke and said, spare them. Jews did not kill them. And God supernaturally restored their sight. They went back home, and that generation of Syrians never attacked the Jewish people again. They encountered God. But again, what we see is that little glimpse into the netherworld, that world that we normally cannot see, but is just as real as the world that we can see. Another example, the Apostle John out on the island of Patmos sees clearly into the invisible realm as he writes the 22 chapters of the book of Revelation. We could do a vast study into the many biblical peaks into that invisible spirit world, but this suffices us enough for this topic. Might the UFO issues kind of fit into this edging up to the netherworld is a very possible scenario. Another huge consideration would be this. We know that Satan is the most brilliant of all God's created beings. We know he often imitates God. Question arises, has Satan and his demons developed similar technologies? Does demonic activity happen in the realms of the UFO phenomena? My bet would be yes, but I'm not positive. But God has chosen not to tell us the absolutes on this topic. We know Satan is the prince and power of the air. Our Lord told us that. And I would surmise being prince and power of the air waves. Would this include UFO activity? But what God has not chosen to tell us is okay by me. I think God's trying to teach us not to go beyond his word, but listen to his word. Listen to what God has done. Look what God did behind the scenes that normally was not seen. But I'm sure what happened in Ezekiel 1, Ezekiel 10 wasn't the first time those vehicles were in operation. But it is the first time God chose to put it in writings for all the rest of the human God followers would be able to see, to ponder, and understand. Another point of interest to me is the rapture of the church. You know, the world won't be able to pretend that nothing happened when millions of people suddenly disappear. One train of thought is the deep state globalist Christ rejectors will say all those deplorables were abducted by aliens. UFOs carried them away as God's judgment fell upon them. Those who refused to worship the image of the beast. Well, we don't know for sure what that lie will be, but we know from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that with all deceivableness of unrighteousness which was in them, because they received not the love of the truth, they would believe the lie. And some people believe, I'm not sure if I buy that or not, but I find it interesting. It's out there, so I thought I'd give it to you, let you ponder it yourself. Other observations on the UFO phenomena, and it's being front and center now in the mainstream media, is this. It divides people, and that is clearly the work of Satan. Any kind of division from Satan, old from young, divide genders, divide races, divide social economic, divide. And it sure does divide. Some people buy into it and others who don't think that people who do buy into it are crazy. Division. That's clearly the work of the devil for sure. Some people are really drawn into it. And sometimes I think Satan can use that as a draw into the paranormal world and introduce them into the occult. So I'd say be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear in reference to the paranormal world, because Satan is the god, little g, of the nether world. He is prince and power of the air. So I think we need to explore all this with a lot of caution. Just be biblical, 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 and that's wherein our minds will be enlightened. That's when we'll be protected from the evil one. Another thought is that perhaps this is some kind of hidden human military development being now exposed. That's a thought. That's a possibility. I'm not sure. But some people think maybe this is all a bunch of hooey. Others would say, is this some kind of sign from God? Others, is this the work of devious men? Some would say, is this the work of the devil? Well, my conclusion would be, none of it really matters all that much, because Jesus is King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. He's coming again, and his reward is with him when he comes. His return will not be hindered by any UFO activities or positions. We have plenty of solid evidence to preach and convince seekers of our Lord's soon return. I'm going with the Captain Obvious here and will only give a bit of awareness to the UFO phenomena. I do believe one day we'll get to ride in an EFO, if not a UFO. Some might say, will the EFOs, the Ezekiel flying objects, will they be rapture vehicles? Will there be a fleet to take God's people home, the rapture of the church? I don't know. Bible says in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. I don't know if you could board that quick. I don't know, but I find it interesting. But I do still have a wild sense of adventure and wild sense of imagination. And so eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither entered in the heart of man the wonderful and exciting things that God has in store for us. Will heaven be a highly technological place? Will there be 5G there? Will it be necessary? Will it be back to, you know, kind of the Stone Age and God just supernaturally provides? I don't know. Will we have sound equipment and microphones? Will it be necessary? It's not been revealed to us. So I guess what I'm getting at here, maybe the theme of the whole message here is, don't worry about what God hasn't told us. Be aware of what's going on. Be aware of what God has told us in his word. And so when people talk to me and ask me, what do you think about UFOs? I say, well, I clearly believe in EFOs. No, I said UFOs. And I said, no, EFOs, Ezekiel flying objects. So it is something I think we need to be aware of. It's something I think can be a tool for us to be a witness for Jesus and share our faith with people about what's going on. They're kind of freaking out. There's a lot of horrible things happening in the news right now and coming world economic crisis, economic reset. None of us know what that's going to be about. We know the technology for the mark of the beast is here. And so Jesus said, watch for these signs in the sky, and the sun and the moon and the stars. Maybe this has something to do with it. I don't know. I don't really care all that much. I do find it interesting. Hope those are some thoughts that'll help your thinking on this. Don't be alarmed. We win. Jesus is coming. Satan will be defeated. He's going to wind up in a bottomless pit for 1,000 years, and then the lake of fire, where he will spend eternity, and he so deserves to be there. Hey, love you. Glad to be back in the saddle. Stay awesome. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He loves you. Bye-bye for now.